This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here live until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We are also live over at WTIC's Facebook page. You can see our lovely faces if you'd like to check out the live stream over at WTIC's Facebook page. So, as usual and customary, we have technology news. And, Bob, you wanted to bring up something that Sony was dealing with, huh?
Yeah, Sony was fined $2.4 million over PlayStation refund refusals.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it made false and misleading representations, a consumer watchdog said.
Mm-hmm.
Sony was hit with a $2.5 million fine for denying customer refunds for faulty PlayStation games. It made false and misleading representations about people's consumer law rights, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission noted. So the commission filed a lawsuit against Sony Interactive Entertainment Network Europe, which runs the Australian operations, in May of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a year for it to go through. And after it told four customers it didn't have to offer refunds for faulty games after they had been downloaded and it had been more than 14 days since the purchase.
Okay.
Consumer guarantee rights do not expire after a digital product has been downloaded and certainly not do not disappear after 14 days or any other arbitrary date claimed by a game store or developer.
Arbitrary date? Did you say arbitrary dates? Oh, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, arbitrary. Yeah, that's pretty big here. Yeah. Anyway, the court also declared Sony Europe breached Australia's consumer law by telling one of four of the consumers it didn't have to provide a refund unless the game developer authorized it, and by telling a fifth consumer that Sony Europe could provide a refund using virtual PlayStation currency instead of money. Fake money stuff. Yeah.
We'll give you some credits.
So what Sony told these consumers was false and does not reflect the consumer guarantee rights afforded to Australian consumers under the Australian consumer law, Sim said.
Mm-hmm.
Sony didn't immediately respond to a request for a comment.
Of course not. Well, again, it's Australian law there, but what are you going to do? Microsoft, we kind of alluded to this, I think, last week, is blocking the Windows 10 May 2020 update on lots of devices. And this is kind of one of the reasons we don't recommend Surfaces. I mean, if Microsoft can't get the operating system to work on its own hardware, yes, that's what I said. If they can't get their operating system to work on their own hardware, why would you buy their hardware? They are blocking this latest update on many of their surfaces. The only one that seems to be able to actually accept the latest update of Windows 10 is the Surface Pro 6. But all the other Surface Pros are being blocked, literally throttled. Now, the panacea that Microsoft was trying to create with Windows 10 was everyone would have Windows 10. But as you've heard with our program, there's many flavors of this Windows 10. Very confusing numbers. 1909, 2020, all these versions of Windows 10. Now you have to figure out which one you're on, whether or not yours is being blocked. Have they fixed anything, really?
Well, the earlier versions aren't even supported anymore.
Right. But you still have Windows 10. How funny is that? An unsupported Windows 10. So Microsoft is still dealing with their own issues as far as their ability to produce an operating system. And we appreciate that because, obviously, this show wouldn't be on for 25 years if, as the song goes, every OS didn't suck. So here we are again with Microsoft not able to release Windows 10. On current technology. You can't make it up. It is what it is. I found this kind of interesting. I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan of Elon Musk. I've given him a hard time about all of his government subsidies for his Teslas, which I still don't think he should have gotten or we should have been doing. I mean, it seems kind of silly to subsidize an $80,000 luxury electric vehicle to people who can afford them, but that is what it is, water under the bridge. But Amazon and Jeff Bezos constantly are fighting together with Musk. And this latest salvo has to do with a book. Now, this book was put out by a former New York Times reporter, Alex Brenzen. And he has a pamphlet out. It's the Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 1. And it's an introduction and death counts and estimates. So he's done some work to maybe give you some different data that we're not getting elsewhere. And what happened? Well, Amazon censored it. They sent this guy an email saying, we're not going to let you put out this book because it doesn't conform to our rules, our whatever you want to call it. Again, these rules are unknown to anybody. They just arbitrarily censored it. And Alex tweeted that this occurred to him. And what happens? Musk comes out and says, we got to break up Amazon. Because, of course, Amazon has done very well during this lockdown, right? You can't go to a brick-and-mortar store to buy anything, except for the most safe places in the country, which are Lowe's, Targets, Home Depots. You can go there anytime. Best Buy, very scary, obviously. They wouldn't let you in Best Buy. But Amazon has done very well with mail order purchases, and for them to start censoring books now, Musk didn't appreciate it too much, and he put a tweet out, and almost instantly, Amazon allowed the sale of the book again. Of course, if they hadn't done anything, nobody would even have known about this book. But of course, they tried to censor it, and now this book is pretty popular. So I'm just talking about the fact that, if you're a billionaire who can get to the International Space Center, you might have a little bit of credibility. And what SpaceX has done and what Tesla has done and what all these other things that Elon has done for technology, for him to go after Amazon, for them trying to block this information. Whether you believe it or not, it's not really the point here. But the point is Elon is out there and he just instantly makes wave with a simple tweet. And this guy's pretty appreciative. The Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 1, Introduction and Death Counts and Estimates. It's just another point of view, which, of course, other points of view are often, nobody wants to hear them. You can't, you must be stoned to death if you have a different point of view. What else you got there, Bob, you want to bring up?
Sure. This is a different subject.
Yeah.
Here's every place, and it's got a map. Every place we've landed or crashed robots on Mars.
Oh, okay.
So two robots are set to launch for the red planet surface in July.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive, they'll join 12 others, although not all of them made it in one piece.
Right.
Both NASA and China's space agency hope to launch new rovers for Mars in the coming weeks. And if they make it, they'll become the 9th and 10th craft to successfully land on the surface of our planetary neighbor.
Hmm.
Hopefully, neither NASA's Perseverance rover nor China's Tianwen-1 rover become the next machine to end its mission abruptly with a crash landing on Mars.
Right.
At least two craft have crashed, while four others have lost contact with Earth just before or after landing. So to mark the upcoming Martian launch season, which only occurs when the planets are best aligned for the trip every 26 months, the Planetary Society put together the below map, which is on this.
You have to go look at it.
You
got to
go get to the link. We'll post it. All 17 Mars landing attempts, past and future, mm-hmm. up through the planned 2023 landing of a European rover and Russian lander.
All right.
So, and the map is pretty interesting.
Very good.
And the rest of the article, it's not very long, but it's.
We'll put it out there for you guys over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We're going to step out for a quick break and then get to your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are live, and everything we talk about is posted live over at Tab's Facebook page. If you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, thankfully we're not putting it on Twitter or we would have all sorts of other issues, but if he deems it worthy, it'll get into our news feed and you'll be able to look at it as well. And of course, we post it live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works, and we are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page, and we'll be right back. And we are back, and we have four lines wide open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. I know you guys are getting ready to do something out there in the yard. You can't do a whole lot else, but the state is opening up, and people are getting out there, and I encourage you to do so as soon as possible to get things moving. That's my recommendation. That's what I've been trying to do. The more you can do, the faster we'll recover. I know a governor must have gotten some sort of email from the Boston Consulting Group, because now we can open up to phase two on the 17th. I don't know why I didn't pick the 15th arbitrarily, or the 10th, or who knows why he picked the 17th. It's a nice Wednesday, you know. It's probably a safer day than a Tuesday, or of course a Monday. Those are very scary days to open. But Wednesday seems just about right, I guess. Again, it's totally arbitrary, and I'm getting frustrated by it, as you can probably tell. But get out there when you can, and try to, let's get things moving as soon as we can here. Otherwise, we're going to be in bigger trouble, I think. Feel free to get online, though. We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. And while we wait for your calls, we always threaten to talk about our kids. I'm not going to do that. I did see a thing. I'll bring up Tesla again. There is another example of how autopilot is extremely dangerous. When you set your car to autopilot on a Tesla, it's basically the same technology my wife's minivan uses in our Honda. It's a 2018 Honda. It's called Pro Power or Pro Cruise Assist or something like that is what it's called. And it keeps you in the lane. And of course, if it sees vehicles ahead of it, it'll actually apply the brakes and keep the distance I've set. But it does not see stationary vehicles. And a poor Tesla owner in Taiwan, I think, is where the accident happened, found out the hard way. A tractor trailer had rolled over on the highway in the path of a Tesla. The driver was out of the vehicle and was probably 100 yards down the highway toward the oncoming traffic, waving his hands. And this Tesla just plowed right into the rolled over tractor trailer, because, of course, the driver wasn't paying attention, because he thinks autopilot is autopilot. So when it comes to Elon, and what he does is he overpromises and underdelivers when it comes to a lot of his technologies, except for SpaceX. We got there. But to allow the vehicle to plow into stationary items on the road, we've had numerous discussions about fire trucks that have been parked and Teslas run right into the back of them, police vehicles. So please, people, keep your hands on the road and your eyes on the road when you have your autopilot running for your Tesla. It is not as high tech as you think it is. And this poor guy literally plowed into the 18-wheeler across the road. So I wanted to make sure I brought that up as a public service announcement. You have a self-driving car article, right, Bob?
Right. This one is a CNET Roadshow article that says self-driving cars likely won't prevent every car crash, study says.
Right.
While self-driving cars won't get distracted or drive drunk, that only accounts for a third of wrecks that occur, according to the insurance industry.
Right.
So in a blow to hopes for a future free of car crashes, mm-hmm. with the coming of self-driving car, a study released Thursday by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety shows totally driverless cars would have a difficult time achieving such a goal.
Yeah.
So it looked at more than 5,000 police-reported crashes from the National Motor Vehicle Crash Causation Survey,
mm-hmm.
which the insurance industry group funded, said represents vehicle crashes resulted in one car towed and required emergency medical services. And then it went through the files. There's more to the article. I don't want to get into the whole thing. But the bottom line is that even if they develop the self-driving technology,
mm-hmm.
and you get a self-driving car,
right.
and you're not the one behind the wheel, you still got to buy insurance.
That, well, the Insurance Institute is going to make sure of that as well. Yeah. The industry is going to hope for that too. But again, you should have some insurance. I think your insurance premiums should go drastically down because once they do perfect self-driving to some level, crashes should be greatly reduced, let's hope. we'll see what happens. Let's get to your calls. We've got who's on the line right now? I'm going to get my new... glasses are on the way, by the way.
From Wilkett next.
Yeah, let's go to Carl and Wilkett. What do you got going, Carl?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
All right. I've got a graduation cash gift for my grandson who's graduating, but I don't want him to use it for education. I want to set up a retirement for him so that he can't, you know, unless he needs it for a house or something down the road. What's the best avenue for that?
Well, this is a computer talk show. Why would you think I would know how to do that?
Why not?
Hey, you're right. I could tell you what I did for kids. I mean, you could always buy a 529 for him and put it there as but that would be for education. You don't want him to use it for education. You want it to be there for whatever he wants to use it for later on, is what you're saying.
Hopefully, you know, later in life, set up, you know, build up a retirement for him.
Well, you need to protect it from him. You need to put it in a trust. Otherwise, young people tend to see the money there and spend it. So, I mean, I'm not an attorney or a financial planner, but I would tell you to put it in some level of trust that, you know, he can't get access to it, you know, and buy a car or something silly early on.
So what was that, a 529 you said?
Well, 529s are for education. They're a great way to save for education tax-free. And it's worked well for my kids. I started saving for my kids when they were born.
All right. So, I didn't mean to hit you with that question. I was calling in for the money line, but I got held over.
Carl, I appreciate the call, but thanks for chiming in.
I enjoyed the information about the Tesla.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Teslas are great, but please keep your hands on the wheel.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too, Carl. I gotta love our listeners. I mean, it's the great thing about WTIC listeners. And everyone's got an opinion, right? So why wouldn't I have an opinion about how to keep your money safe for your kids? Who knows? I mean, I'm a dad. Let's go on to Walter in Wethersfield. What's going on, Walter? You there, Walter? Walter, I hear you. I hear some beeping.
Okay, I'm here.
All right, what's up, sir?
Sounded like you dropped me, but...
No, that's all Matt. Matt controls everything. We're simply in the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford. Matt's back there in Farmington.
I don't know if you remember, but at the end of last week's show, a woman called in with a problem with her brother's laser printer toner cartridge.
Yep.
And you thought it might be the fuser.
I did.
You know, maybe it is, but I think you'd still have toner on the paper, and if it was a fuser, the toner would just wipe off. But another potential problem, and because I've made it, and if you don't change your toner cartridge very often, I think it's easy to forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know how most toner cartridges have that little tab on the side, and you have to pull out that cellophane strip before you use them?
Mm-hmm.
If she had forgotten to do that, that would prevent the toner from even...
It would, but I would think the printer would warn her of that. But that would be a big problem, because if that toner cartridge is in there with the cellophane strip, it heats it up pretty hot. You'd have a problem, I think.
Yeah, that could be, but I think it's just something that easy to forget, and just thought I'd
throw it out there.
Mention it just in case.
We do appreciate it, Walter. All calls are important, so thank you very much for bringing that up, and thank you for listening.
Can I ask you a quick question about?
Hey. You got to hold out over the news. We're hitting a hard break.
Well, never mind then. I'll ask it another time.
Sounds good,
sir. Enjoy the news. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Stick around, guys. We got a couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11, and we are live. And we're also broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We are here till 11 o'clock. We have three lines all jammed up. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will go to Fairfield and Antoinette next. Hey, Antoinette, what's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question or comment to see if my thinking is right on security.
Okay.
You know when you sign up for a site or you go to a site and they said, save this information? And I always say no, because I'm thinking that that can be hacked into if I ask them to save the information so I don't have to automatically sign in.
I agree.
Okay, good.
I agree. You've done that well. We actually have had some stories in the past. We actually had a security columnist, who was hacked in that fashion, and they did leverage all of his passwords that were saved on his browser account through Google to be able to then access a lot of his life. So I don't save my passwords through Google. Definitely not worth doing. I don't think, again, write them down, keep them safe off the network. And that's the best way I found to be secure, along with adding two-factor authentication so that when you do log in to a service or an account from a different platform, you're texted with a code saying, hey, is this you, Antoinette? Did you log in from this computer? And you can, if you say no, then the other person won't get in.
Right. Now, the other thing is, with that, I have bought things online a couple of times.
Yep.
And I go back and, like, pay my cell phone online because it's cheaper.
Sure.
And I'll have two cards that I'll use interchangeably, but they always seem to have the first card on there when I started it. And I never told them to save my information, but I can tell that it'll come up. So I can just click and not have to manually type in, but I still manually type in.
So in that case, that's a feature of Google and the websites you're using. And because if it's a credit card and you're not responsible for any unauthorized charges that are made, I wouldn't be as concerned about that.
Okay.
I would never put a bank card on there where you had a debit card or anything like that. But a credit card like that, it's a convenience to have it pre-filled for you. And again, if any unauthorized purchases are made, you're not responsible for them. So,
okay. All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. All right. Let's go on to Unionville and John, I think. Yep. Hey, John.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a MacBook Pro that's over 10 years old.
Okay.
And I am having a problem just a couple days ago now where I had three or four things opened on the computer, and then it just froze up. And so I shut it down, and then I, literally reopened it again. My son ran malware bytes. Mm-hmm. There was a couple things on there, but he deleted those.
Really? Malware on a Mac, huh? That's supposed to be impossible.
Well, we did, because I paid for it, too.
You paid for the software?
I did.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, supposedly he ran it, and then it cleared the two. But I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But right now, what's happening now is that I will go ahead and open up the computer, and then it'll take 10 minutes for me to open up a Word document, a Mac Word document. And then it gets open, and then Then what happened was is that another word would open, another one. I mean, I didn't click on them. Hmm. So it's just opening up like, you know, and so then I shut it down again.
Yeah.
And
well, you
and,
could have a stuck key of some kind, or your mouse is clicking more than you think it is.
That could
cause that issue. Nothing's going to open up automatically without you putting forth an effort to do it. But if it's a 10-year-old computer and it's freezing, like any computer, you could have a physical issue. So you've already done the malware route, and that's not obviously the issue if it's still happening. So you could have a RAM issue, your hard drive could have an issue, your processor could have an issue.
Okay.
It could be a heat issue. You could have an issue with the fan.
Well, it did get very, very hot. And it's not now, but at one time when I reopened it, it was like, oh, my God, it's so hot, you know?
Yep. You could have an issue where you have to clear out that dust that could be built up in a 10-year-old computer.
Okay.
MacBook Pro, is that that's a laptop for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the vent, there's like probably fins where the air comes in there and it gets all caked with dust and what have you. So you have to try to blow it out. Any advice on that, Bob?
My son suggested that.
Well, he's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah, it's kind of like the filter on your dryer. You have to clear it out every now and again.
Yeah.
Okay, good point.
So it could be that.
Okay, I do have one other question.
Sure.
I was using IXQUICK because I got the computer from my daughter, and that's what they used for a search engine. Just recently, and I've been using that for 3 years or so, and it works fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was is that it came out and said that the certificate was ending.
Yeah.
And then the date came out and said, what does that mean?
So each website has to renew their security certificate, and the IXQuick, which I've never used, is very similar to DuckDuckGo, which has been advertised like crazy on WTIC. I've seen billboards for it all over Hartford. They're pushing really hard to get us to use their search engine. So it seems like it's a more private search engine. But all it means is that the folks who are offering that website need to renew their security cert. That's all it means. And the problem is these things, it's like the last thing all IT companies seem to do. Even Microsoft forgot to renew their security cert on 365, and it brought it down for a period of time recently, the whole service. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. I've never heard of them, though. I don't know where they're out of. Are they American? Are they a foreign company?
I don't know. It came with my daughter gave us the laptop, and it's been a great tool for me for several years, but it's... Now, that in itself would not cause the computer to freeze up, though, right?
No. A warning on a security certificate would not.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for your help today.
You're welcome, sir.
I love your show.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. But, yeah, it's a really interesting DuckDuckGo is doing so much advertising, and it's great that they're doing so. I've never really played a whole lot with it. It does advertise itself as a more secure search engine. I mean, we've talked about it all the time. When you use any other kind of search engine, whether it be Google or what have you, you're going to be stuck with whatever you searched in every advertisement you now visit with every site you go to. I bought a hat. And I can't get away from the ads for the same hat company. I'm trying to. How do you tell them? Stop it! I already bought your product. You're bothering me. But if you use DuckDuckGo or a search engine that doesn't offer that information up as your search engine, then you might find the advertisements in the other sites that you go to wouldn't be so tracked or traced to you. So I would encourage you to check it out. I still don't know how they make their money. They're spending an awful lot of money to advertise their product, and if they're not sharing your data in some way, it might just be a more of a an algorithm that is out there for maybe whether you're male or female, your age, you know, rather it would be more anonymized rather than more specific, which is maybe how they make their money. I don't know. They're obviously making some money because they're paying for advertising.
So that website is... is a Dutch-owned company, and apparently it appears that it's merged with StartPage.com.
Okay, all right, and StartPage also is another more private search company, so it's a Dutch company. And, you know, where your data sits is really up to you these days. I would encourage you to stick with American companies because at least you might have some sort of recourse if your data is used incorrectly, whereas you really can't touch the Dutch from here.
You can't get there from here.
No. That's the whole problem with this whole World Wide Web, right? Everything's so disconnected. That's why I like to get a lot of my news from the Register. It's a UK IT newspaper or website, and they actually have a whole lot of different perspectives on the IT world of America because they're not from around here. We're going to step out for a quick break. It's back to more of your calls. We have a couple lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about today is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. It's him on Monday. I could wait till Tuesday. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I just love this bumper music. Kind of fits the arbitrary nature of our startup of our state. You know, you're just wondering. You know, Wednesday is a nice day, I guess. It was going to be a different day. Sunday, I think, is what he had chosen, the 20th. Now it's the 17th. Maybe he'll change his mind and make it a Monday. But someday, we'll open up the state and don't know what kind of data you could possibly use to choose the, you know, the day to start the state up, but I'm sure the Boston Consulting Group is advising. But I digress. But I'm getting a little sick and tired of it, as you might tell. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Rocky Hill and Carol. You there, Carol?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a computer that's elderly and has finally started breaking. It was put together by a young geek for me. It's wonderful, but it has way more than I need.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking, and it's giving me error messages. One of the hard drives is going.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at something much simpler, that because getting it repaired right now is kind of a challenge. Anyway, and yeah. So I'm looking at an HP all-in-one.
Mm.
And what I use, I mean, I usually use a Chromebook when I travel because I just like it, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're almost disposable. And they're actually a lot tougher than they seem.
Mm-hmm.
But I want Word for because I do some word processing for my business.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you thought or
yeah.
if you have any sort of recommendations.
Well, if you like Word, believe it or not, you can get the Microsoft suite on your Chromebook. It'll be app based. You can go with 365. You'll be renting it forever, but there is app based 365 that I'm pretty sure you can run on your Chromebook. Chromebooks do have some shortcomings when it comes to how apps work, but if you
yeah.
already like it, I would tell you to maybe consider it, since that would mean you wouldn't have to buy any other computer because you already have a computer you like.
Oh. Yeah, I've found shortcomings on it, but it's really convenient for traveling.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
so.
Definitely. And I agree with you, it can be considered disposable if you get a really low-end one. Now, the only issue you might find if it was a really cheap Chromebook is that yeah. Microsoft, in many of its forms, is still pretty processor-intensive. So you might find it might be a little too cheap to run the Microsoft suite of products within the apps that they offer you. Now, I've never done it myself, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that what I'm telling you will work. You know, it's an app. You'll be getting the apps only, not the software, because there's no operating system to load on your Chromebook.
Yeah.
It'll be app-based. You may want to do a little YouTube searching to see how people have used it and see if it works for them before you purchase it. But you already have the computer.
That's true.
What's the harm? If you don't like it, you can always cancel the subscription. Unfortunately, you have to pay the subscription because I don't think there's a, and I could be wrong here too, I don't think there's a single app purchase option out there where you can buy Word as an app mm-hmm. on the store. Although I've never done it, so I'm not positive. Have you done it, Bob?
Okay.
I think you can.
Yeah.
It's usually a lot more expensive than if you just buy the suite, at least the basic suite.
Right, but if it's done on Chrome, it has to be the app.
Right.
So if you can buy it that way, that's the way I would do it, rather than renting it, if it gives you the option to do that.
Yeah.
So otherwise, if you want to buy a computer, a regular computer, and you need an i5, I would recommend this for Chromebooks too, by the way. An i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, a hybrid or a solid-state hard drive, depending on how much local storage you're going to need. 512 gigs would make sense to me. You don't need a terabyte necessarily. And those are the basics, really, when it comes to either the Chromebook or the Windows operating system. If you get anything less than the Windows operating system, it won't run really well.
Ah, so 8 gigs, really. Okay.
Yeah, 8 gigs of RAM would be a minimum these days. Yep, and an i5 processor. Don't get an i3.
Okay. Okay. All well, right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go on to Windsor Locks and Joanne. What's going on, Joanne?
My 10-year-old desktop was getting cranky, so I got an HP Envy.
Nice.
i5. And the difference is crazy between them.
Yeah.
I signed on to the computer, and now we need to sign on to Microsoft too.
Right. So Microsoft wants you to create an account, and Bob, you can go over that with her as far as how to create that Microsoft account she has to deal with.
Well, you have to create an account in either office.com or live.com, and then it wants you to sign in whenever you go onto your computer.
Right.
So the downfall of that is if you don't have the internet, you might not be able to get on.
Is there a way around that so she doesn't have to sign in?
Yeah, you should be able to create a local user account. And we can put a link up to that. You got to go into Control Panel and then Users.
So have you already signed on with it,
No, I didn't. All I did was sign on to the computer itself.
So you probably have Microsoft 10, Windows 10 Home Edition, as I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated to create local users on.
Of course. So the other option is to create the Microsoft account, and that's not a big deal. But Bob's right. If you have an internet issue, it may not let you on. But I think you might have cache credentials that will allow you to at least bring the machine up. And again, Microsoft just wants to know, you know, what you're doing, right? What are you doing with their computer? They just want to know.
Okay, so I have another question.
Yeah.
I went to sign up for Proton Mail, free.
Yeah, nice.
And Firefox jumped in with suggestions for passwords. And it said it didn't like my name. And so I did nothing because I did not think that was right.
Yeah, so all these companies are just, I don't know what's happening out there. So Proton Mail is a great option for email, and Firefox has no business even getting involved with how you set up your password. Maybe they are going to suggest, maybe your password was weak, right? And what was your password, by the way?
I didn't even set it up. They just popped in and said, here's a password.
Yeah, that's not helpful. Again, I don't know why they're doing it. These companies are all trying to help. I'm going to assume Firefox is trying to help you with setting up passwords that are complicated. It's not that hard to set up complicated passwords. But I would tell you, if you're interested in that Proton Mail, just go back and set it up. And you know, you can ignore their suggestions. Just write down a password that you're going to type in. So write it out. Think of it ahead of time. Write it down. And then type it in.
That's exactly what I did, and that's when they popped in.
Sorry, I don't know why. It's none of their business. It's none of their business.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but you could ignore it and go ahead and just go forward and put your password in.
Okay.
These browsers are getting too involved. Yeah.
OpenDNS.
Yes.
Has given me a choice for their free account.
Mm-hmm.
I can sign up without an account or with an account. Which way is better?
The only reason you'd want to have an account is if you want to add special filtering rules. So if you have kids coming into your network at home and you wouldn't want them to surf or find themselves on inappropriate content, you would then sign up with an account and you would set and select different scenarios where you'd want to block, you know, violence or pornography or whatever you'd want to block from the internet. If that is not an issue and you don't need to configure that for folks coming into your network, you could just go on without an account at all and just configure the IP addresses that they give you in the DNS settings, and you'll generally be much safer just by surfing under those IP addresses in general. I would tell you to set up an account, though. I just think it's more powerful, and as the internet becomes still more and more dangerous out there, the ability to customize where you surf will be a long-term benefit for you.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much. DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard of it was on Clark Howard years ago.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it years ago, too, but all of a sudden they're just making a big move. Have you used it before?
It made me wonder.
Have you used it before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Do you like it?
Yes.
All right, good. Well, that's good news. Have you used it, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, Bob used it, too. Cool. I haven't really used it much. I don't really care if Google knows where I'm going or not. I'm so ingrained in the Googleplex with my phone and everything I use these days. If Google knows what I'm doing, I almost don't care about it. But a little extra privacy can't hurt, right?
Right.
So, all right, Joanne?
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we got a couple lines open for you guys. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online during the news, and Bob and I will do our best to answer your questions. If you used DuckDuckGo before, what's your thoughts of it? They're doing some serious advertising on the station, and I've seen them advertising billboards, all sorts of stuff lately. What do you guys think of that browser? Not browser, it's more of a search engine. Have you found that you get less targeted ads by using their service? That kind of stuff, that'd be interesting. Also, if you happen to be in Southington and East Hartford, Go NetSpeed's battling it out between the two locations. Southington's way ahead. So keep letting them know, Southington, you're interested, and we're going to get Go NetSpeed in Southington. Newington just got a huge increase as well of Go NetSpeed. So good stuff happening. We'll be right back.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.